Stop there. I'm afraid.
It's Monday. I'm Dave. This is the Article 5 show. We're back. What a great week it's been. The government is shut down. I'm sleeping at night. The drones aren't coming. Oh, it's glorious. It's glorious. Anybody out there been personally affected by the government shutdown? I was really beside myself this morning when I pulled up the chit-chat from the Sunday talk shows. Doing some show prep. You know, the president is livid about the fact that the stock markets are not doing what he wants them to do. He's really a bit beside himself with the idea that the financial world goes on in spite of the game that he's playing. And so he went on Sunday talk shows to try to instill a little bit more fear and loathing in the stock market, to try to convince them that they should be more concerned about what's going on here, that they should in fact just have a little crash. And and today they did actually close down almost 1%. It's hilarious. Listen, he's on with the clip that I put out on my blog today was one where he was on CNBC. I forget the name of the airhead, that guy that's interviewing him on CNBC. But this guy is already, and I warned you about this last week, folks. There's talk about the next crisis. Now patriots, stay on top of that. I'm not suggesting that there shouldn't be some thought about the debt ceiling increase that's coming up. What I am suggesting is that be careful of the bipartisan effort at diversion. Be careful that while we're all now beginning to focus on the ruination of the world because America might default, quote-unquote, on its obligations, that Harry Boehner and friends aren't off negotiating something on the Obamacare shutdown to give the president what he wants over there. That's a likelihood. I'd say that that's an extreme possibility. So stay on those phones, stay on top of it, stay with the real news, stay in touch with what's happening, stay in touch with the Patriot representatives and the Patriot senators that are on our side, stay on their social network pages, keep up with what's really going on. Let's do one thing at a time. The other cool thing that happened to me this week is for the second week in a row while I was doing show prep, I tuned in to the coolest blog talk radio show I've come across. This American refugee, Mark Presak, I don't know. And I see him in the chat room now, so go ahead and call in if you want to, Mark. It's American Refugee Radio. He's on, I know, Mondays and Fridays at 3 o'clock our time. It's right in the middle of my show prep, so I turn it on and listen. I did actually call in today and put in a plug for us, but it's a great radio show. He's a great host. He does some cool things. Last week they had a Twitter bomb headed out to Charlie Daniels to try to get him to write a song about dumping Obamacare. And I'm telling you, the response was phenomenal. But the coolest thing is, if you go to this guy's website, patriotjournalist.com, and listen up now, I know a lot of my listeners are core members of different patriot groups throughout Missouri and even throughout the country. We get a lot of calls in from other states. But go to this patriotjournalist.com. The guy's got an app there that is the coolest thing I've ever seen. If you sign up for this app, if you'll be logged into Twitter when you sign up, it will automatically, with your permission, reach out and get your Twitter hashtag. And then any tweet that you do will get retweeted by this app. I was amazed. I was impressed. I signed up right away, both myself and Missouri Grassroots Coalition. So, there he is. There's Mark now.
Hey, my friend.
Hey,
how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Actually, let me just correct you on one thing. Mark Prasek is actually my co-host on Mondays.
Okay. All right.
And he is at Data Genesis on Twitter. He does have the Patriot Journalist Network. And I am the American Refugee. And okay. I bring him on the show every Monday for a show kind of that deals with the whole Patriot Journalist Network thing and everything like that. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good. How are you? And who's the driver? Is it you or he that's the driver behind the Patriot Journalist Network?
He is the driver behind the Patriot Journalist Network.
Okay.
And absolutely. And I'm over at theamericanrefugees.com. And we found each other on Twitter.
Cool.
And we became friends and decided that we had to start supporting one another.
Okay, well, here's a plug for two guys then. And as the refugee noted last week on his show while I was listening, the key to the Patriot movement, brothers and sisters, is networking. And this is it. This is it right here. It is, and that's what Missouri Grassroots Coalition is all about. It's about keeping these groups together, networking, combining our strength, combining our knowledge, combining our sense of duty. Some people believe in one thing, some people believe in another, as long as it has to do with limited government, with fair taxation, and with liberty, you're welcome in American Grassroots Coalition.
Out the same way at the American Refugees, you know, we got Catholics and we got Baptists and we got sort of some Ayn Rand type objectivists, you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
but they're
sure.
They're all believe in liberty, they all believe in limited government and constitutionalism, and that's the connecting thread between all of us, and that's very important. Listen, I wanted to comment on a topic I heard you talking about, though, that has me concerned, and I wanted to throw something out there for you, because I'm concerned that Boehner will, while everybody's looking away, while everybody else is on the other attention, now they start focusing on the whole supposed debt ceiling crisis. And then they end up blowing off the whole Obamacare thing, which we want them to take a big bite out of Obamacare, definitely. One thing that I have been doing a little research on today, though, you know, there's no reason why Congress can't pass a limited sort of a debt ceiling increase, okay? They could actually pass a debt ceiling increase that says we can pay the interest on the national debt. We can pay the bills that we've already accrued and there will be no default, but we will not borrow one penny other than that to actually continue to increase the national debt. And they act as though that's not a possibility. They act as though we have to it's either or. Either we have to default completely or we have to keep increasing the national debt. No, we don't. We actually
Well, here's
don't.
Here's what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, my friend. The fact of the matter is that the United States government, all of you will have noticed, I think, out there, that irregardless of the fact that the federal government is shut down, they're still taking 25% of the money out of your paycheck at the end of every week or 2 weeks or whatever it is.
Not much of a shutdown, is it?
The federal government continues to bring in, without borrowing a dime, has a steady income flow of $200 billion a month. Mm-hmm. Now, if you count things that the federal government is constitutionally obligated to do, and that is service the debt, mm-hmm, and defend the country, the things right that the federal government is constitutionally obligated to do, you spend $105 billion a month. Now, that leaves $95 billion a month. So I there's a gross redefinition here of the word default.
There is.
The United States of America cannot and will not default. Don't let the president and his cronies scare you with these big scare words. We cannot and will not default. There is ample monthly cash flow to do the two things that the federal government is constitutionally required to do, and that is service its debt, and defend the country. With $95 billion good hard cash left over.
Absolutely. One of the problems that we have is that the government has started doing some things a number of years ago that unfortunately the people have become addicted to.
Mm-hmm.
And even something that some people who would call themselves conservatives have become addicted to. And, you know, addiction, it's like heroin. It feels good at first, but it's a very, very, very bad thing for you. Look at what Social Security has done to this country.
Oh, absolutely.
Look at a time when grandparents used to live at home. And
uh-huh.
parents, you know, your parents wiped your butt when you were a kid. Then you wiped your grandparents' butt when they were old and dying.
Right.
They lived at home. They had close relationships with the grandchildren. They helped. We've destroyed that. Okay.
We have.
We destroyed that by saying, oh, that's okay, man. The government's got that. They got your grandparents taken care of with Social Security and Medicare, and now you don't have to worry about that. Okay. And we have really destroyed that. I think it's one of the reasons why societal attitudes that used to take 30 and 40 years to change can now change so quickly because there's no grandparents in the home telling kids, teaching kids about the values they grew up with. We're sending our kids to government schools and leaving them in school more and more hours a day, and they're getting indoctrinated with those values, which are not our values. And it's a terrible, terrible thing. But unfortunately, we've created a situation now where, you know, once you tax people 7.55% of their income for their whole life for Social Security, and you promise them that a benefit's going to be there, they end up getting addicted to that, and they end up counting on that, and then they think of that as, well, that was promised to me, and I've paid for that already, and so I want that money, you know, and it creates a bad, bad situation. It's one of the reasons we need to get rid of Obamacare quickly, because if it festers, my friend, there will be some people who will be addicted to it. Also, there will be private insurance companies that will go bankrupt. There will be doctors that will go out of the business. It's not like we can just say in 5 or 10 years, oh, well, that didn't work, and go back overnight to the system we used to have. It will have long-lasting damage.
We see the proof of what you say in the countries that are now finding themselves having to move toward what they call austerity and pare
yes.
down some of these programs. And what's happening in those countries, the people just aren't going to stand for it. They just aren't going to stand for not being taken care of by the government the way they have been.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because they've been conditioned that way their whole lives. Also, even though socialism is now collapsing in Europe, one of the only reasons it was able to last for as long as it did is because we here in America kept inventing things, okay, which they used, okay? This cheap medicine that they were giving away to their people in Europe, none of it was getting created in Europe.
Okay? That's right.
The cheap medicine was getting created here where there was a profit motive, okay? You take away the profit motive and all of a sudden you don't have an America that's creating things. Okay, and, you know, there's nobody for these socialist countries to feed off of anymore. And it's really going to create just a huge, huge mess. But yeah, you're right, my friend. I don't want to dominate your whole show, but I did want to call in and tell you hello. And I wanted to listen to you talk about Article 5 tonight and everything else, my friend.
Tell everybody about your show. Tell them about the American refugees and where they can get a hold of you. And go ahead, do the whole plug.
Let me do the whole plug.
Yeah.
You can go to theamericanrefugees.com to find us. You can find American Refugee Radio on Blog Talk Radio. And to quickly let you know my story and what led to it and why I call myself the American Refugee, really, after the Supreme Court upheld Obamacare, I went into a depression, and really a real actual depression. It was a real wake-up call for me, and I started thinking in terms of what am I going to do, and I got myself as active as I could during the presidential election, but I mean, what was it even going to mean if Romney had gotten elected? That was a whole depressing aspect in and of itself, but because I didn't necessarily believe he would remove Obamacare, okay? And once Barack Obama was reelected, I just had this feeling like I couldn't do it anymore. I just couldn't support this beast of a federal government anymore. And I quit the Republican Party. I became an independent, and I now consider myself to be an independent conservative. I walked into my job and said, I can no longer in good conscience pay taxes to this government. I resign. And they just thought I had gone insane. Okay, and they're like, well, you know, you have to give us enough. I said, no, I can't do it. I said, I can't pay taxes to this government in good conscience. I don't quite know what I'm going to do yet, but I'm going to do something else. I'm going to go underground and support myself in another way. And at first, my friend, my only idea was I was going to maybe cut grass for a living or be a construction helper, get different cash jobs. Okay, and I decided that I wasn't going to comply with Obamacare, that I would neither pay the penalty nor actually pay for any insurance that complied with it. And I thought I would maybe call into different radio stations and just, you know, bring that idea up. And I was using – I had already told friends. I said – I had read Mark Levin's book, Ameritopia, and I said, you know, I feel like this isn't America anymore. I feel like it's Ameritopia, and I feel like an American refugee. And then I was walking around the French Quarter in New Orleans. That's where I'm from, the day after I quit, and thinking about – kind of scared now. The reality was hitting me. Man, you just quit your job. What are you really going to do? And I was walking around looking at some of the fellow freaks in the French Quarter, people that are musicians and artists and clowns and this and that and the other. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to not just call myself an American refugee. I'm going to say that I'm the American refugee. I'm going to put on a superhero outfit, and I'm going to come down here to the liberal French Quarter every day and preach constitutional government and give away constitutions and try and take donations. Okay? And let me see how that goes. Well, it went well. I tweeted about it, and the Twitter account started taking off. People wanted me to do a radio show, and they just kind of stepped forward. And that's kind of the way the whole thing has happened, and how I've just become, you know, this full-time activist, and it's all I do, and that's how it came about.
Great. You know, I love hearing stories like that. It's really kind of. Let me ask you something. Back up about a year and a half. Who were you backing in the Republican primary?
I was torn between Ron Paul and Rick Santorum. I'm halfway in between those two. Okay.
Right.
I'm exactly halfway in between those two. And unfortunately, you tell that to a lot of Ron Paul supporters, and they get mad at you. Okay. And some of the Rick Santorum supporters get mad at you, too. Okay.
That's right.
But the person that I absolutely didn't want to get it was Romney. Okay.
Yeah.
Romney got it. I held my nose and voted for him. I can't fault people who didn't vote or who voted third party, okay? You know, you end up in this tough situation of, you know, what are you going to do? I knew that I didn't entrust the guy who had come up with Obamacare in Massachusetts to really repeal Obamacare.
Right.
You know, Romney struck me as a conservative only in the sense that, yeah, he's a corporate capitalist. He's that, and he wants to manage the government. And he'll probably do a better job of managing the government than Obama. But I didn't necessarily ever believe that he was a true believer in repealing Obamacare, so that concerned me. I would have preferred Newt over him, and Lord knows I've had my problems with Newt over the years, because I have. Now, today, I'm very excited by Senators Rand Paul, Mike Lee, and Ted Cruz. Those are basically the three in the United States Senate that I like today. And like I said, I don't even really consider myself to be a Republican anymore. I consider myself to be an independent conservative. Granted, I have more friends in the Republican Party than I do in the Democratic Party. But, you know, I think that a part of our problem has been that we've developed this completely extra-constitutional two-party system. It's a big part of our problem, man, the idea that if you're not a part of one of those two political parties, that it's almost impossible to get ballot access and almost impossible to get elected, and those two big machines control so much. I think we'd be a lot better off with a more fractured political system with a larger number of smaller political parties.
Oh, I agree. I agree with that 100%, or even no parties at all. I refuse to, you know, I've become very libertarian and followed a, my listeners all know, I followed a totally different route to there than you did, coming up as a Truman Kennedy Democrat.
Okay.
And seeing the Democratic Party leave me, as it turned hard left.
Right.
I became a libertarian, but refused to be part of the Libertarian Party. I mean, as soon as you talk party, you start talking about any group of people or a small group of people who vie for control, who set dogmas and ideals that you have to agree with to be part of the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just hanging out here on my own, just doing my thing as a small L libertarian,
right,
as I believe Thomas Jefferson was,
yeah.
And that's where I'm at. I was huge in the Herman Cain campaign before the disaster.
I liked Herman Cain a lot. I liked Herman Cain a lot, and he's certainly somebody who I could have supported. But it really went to hell. Now, unfortunately, one of the reasons it went to hell is because Romney never had a legitimate challenger, kind of from the center of the party. And there ended up being too many conservatives on the right hand of the party, I think, who fought each other, and conservatives never really coalesced behind one. Go ahead.
I believe that the party had already selected Romney before the first ballot was thrown in Iowa. You know, I think, yeah, it was a done deal. I mean, you could see that proving itself out, I believe, as the race went on and on.
Yeah, you could. And now there are times when I think the people can stand up and surprise the party. But boy, it really takes somebody one person to really end up standing up and electrifying the people against their sort of their endorsed candidate, you know, that they're trying to shove down your throats. And but I'm like you, you know, I don't believe in, you know, we always associate political correctness with the left, but there's a version of political correctness on the right, too. And I don't buy into anybody's notion of political correctness that says that because I believe A and B, I must also believe C. Okay.
Exactly.
I'm not going to do that. Okay. My philosophy is always going to be constitutionalist in nature. Okay. I may occasionally come down on the other side of some issues, okay, than some conservatives, but they'll know where my basic philosophy is, okay?
Right.
And they'll know what the values are that are driving me towards that decision. So I'll never be one that demands no dissent whatsoever on any individual issue, but my God, Obamacare just violates everything.
It does.
It violates all of the principles.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
It absolutely does.
And so it's why Obamacare is just, you know, one of the problems with that law too, really, it was never intended to become law in the way it was written. The House wrote a bill that they hoped would become law that they knew they wouldn't, they knew it was going to go to Congress. The Senate kind of wrote a bill that was slapped together haphazardly in order to buy 60 Democratic votes. And the idea that they had was that they would go to conference with the Democrat bill, and that then the conferees would end up writing the true bill. Well, the Republicans ended up adding a seat, and they were going to be in position to filibuster that. And so you had this weird situation then where the House went and passed the Senate bill. Okay.
Right.
Now, two problems with that. One, it's unconstitutional. Spending bills are supposed to originate in the House. Okay, so it's one of the reasons why the bill shouldn't have stood up. But the other thing is, aside from disagreeing with the bill in theory, you ended up making a law, a bill that nobody had ever read, that different committee staff members had written large sections of in order to buy this one's vote or buy that one's vote or buy the other one's vote. Nancy Pelosi wasn't kidding when she said we have to pass the bill to see what's in it.
That's right.
Okay. No. You know, it wasn't in any way a coherent piece of legislation. And but they made a call that they would rather ram that through than get nothing.
And this is why the president and McConnell and Reid were taken aback about 3 weeks ago when this looming government shutdown reared its head, because it was imperative. It was absolutely imperative to them that they get the CR through, the continuing resolution through, before October 1st, before people had to start signing up for this, before people found out what was in it. You know, you'll watch the polls daily. And I literally mean daily. The numbers are swinging as people go to the website, try to sign up, look at the charts, see what kind of premiums there are for what kind of deductibles there are, find out exactly how much assistance they're going to get from the government for paying these astronomical insurance premiums that they never wanted to pay before. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the tide on that is turning fast, and I believe that before they open the government again, the American public will be, you know, well, I mean, you can listen to Lee on the radio almost every day on one show or the other, and he is saying, you know, the only reason this is able to happen is because of the millions and millions of communications coming into senators and representatives from their constituents.
Right. Isn't Mike Lee a good senator?
Yeah, he's good. Yeah, really good.
He's really good, and you know what? I'm not saying that with the other ones it is, because I like Cruz and Paul too, but with Mike Lee, man, it's never about Mike Lee. Okay?
Right.
There's almost no ego there with Mike Lee. Okay? And
did you see him crush Cindy Crowley?
Oh, yes. I looked at the video of that, and it's he is such a smart man, and he's so well grounded, and he knows exactly where he's coming from with everything, and he's somebody that I'm very, very proud is inside of the United States Senate, and because he is just an outstanding senator. He is just an outstanding senator. And we'll see what we'll see how it all shakes out, my friend. But the fight is on.
You're on at 3 o'clock on Monday and Friday, right?
Yeah, and then I've been going on at 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays.
Okay,
and is what I've been doing, and it's and a part of the reason for that was simple. My Monday and Friday shows took off, and my Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday shows were real slow. And I said, well, let me just try something with a little bit different time. But then I ended up working my schedule out that way, where I end up going out doing other things on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. And I'm literally out in the streets during those days giving out constitutions and talking to people. You know, for me, if I can go out and talk to people all day and give away about 100 constitutions – and that ends up costing me about $30 or $40. But if I can get, you know, $40 or $45 in donations in that day, well, I ate lunch.
Right. Well, there you go.
And
There's not a better piece of reading for the American people today than a United States Constitution. You know, a standard graduation gift from me for anybody, who's not my family, they get a little bit more. For anyone who's graduating is two books. One is the United States Constitution booklet, and another one is The Reluctant Messiah.
The Reluctant Messiah.
Yeah. But, okay, that's I'm up against a break. Hey, I want you to feel free to stay through the break. I'll be glad to sit with you for the rest of the night if you want. We're going to go ahead and talk about, you brought up Mark Levin. We're going to go ahead and talk about Article 5. Now, Mark Levin, we've been on this Article 5 thing for some years now. Mark Levin, we're glad to see finally getting on the bandwagon and giving us a little bit of support on Article 5, and it certainly is making a national name for itself since he's done it. We're going to go ahead and we've opened the phone lines to all liberals tonight. We invite liberals to come along. Listen, liberals, if you want all of the things you want, you don't want to go through this. You don't want to be going through this, do you? Every year, I mean, all of this shutdown and threatening to shut down. I mean, you'd like to have all the things you want there with no questions asked and as an absolute right. Well, we're going to tell you how to do that tonight. You want your gun laws, you want all those things. We're going to tell you how to get that done. It's not that hard. All you got to do is get on board with us and demand that your representatives call for an Article 5 convention. The lines are open to liberals tonight. Regular listeners, don't feel like that means you can't call in too. We'd be glad to have you all. We're going to run right through this break, and then we'll be back. You're welcome to stay, Mr. American Refugee.
His life so dear, for peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
No matter what time of year it is, it's never too early to start preparing for the holidays. And here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, we're thinking of Christmas now. Why? Because we've set an ambitious goal for ourselves to raise $2,000. That's right, we want to raise $2,000 in 2013 to help some Missouri families who may be struggling in this Obama economy to provide a magical Christmas morning for their children. Last year, in 2012, Missouri Grassroots Coalition touched the lives of 15 families because of the generosity of conservatives across the state who provided us with the means to pay off their layaway accounts on Christmas Eve. This year, we'd like to be able to help twice that number of families, and we're asking you to help us with that goal. Please go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and click on the Secret Santa tab. All the details are there for you to send us what you can by PayPal, check, or money order. We want to thank all who contributed last year for their generosity and hope that you will all help us continue to prove that charitable giving works best in a constitutional republic.
We have never invested as much in public education as we should have because we've always had kind of a private notion of children. Your kid is yours and totally your responsibility. We haven't had a very collective notion of these are our children. So part of it is we have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to whole communities. Once it's everybody's responsibility and not just the households, then we start making better investments.
Can you talk if you haven't got a brain?
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking. Ha!
That's it. We're back. I absolutely love that. That's two separate cuts, by the way. That Melissa Harris Perry letting you know that your kids don't belong to you, and the Dorothy telling, or the Scarecrow telling Dorothy that some people do an awful lot of talking that ain't got no brains. But I think they go well together. And so I play them together. But if you're in Springfield, you may or may not know this is happening. And if you're not, then come to SpringfieldNewsLeader.com. That's the name of our local rag down here, Springfield News Leader. What you'll find there on the front page, there's a week-long series going on of exactly what Melissa is talking about there. It is an all-out full frontal attack on parents. Basically all about the need for compulsory education, probably from age two, about the need for government licensing of daycare centers in homes that provide babysitting services, nothing more or less. I mean, they're after your kids. So, yeah, look that up and follow that. It's just getting worse and worse and worse, or better and better and better if you've joined us from the liberal side of the fence. And before we get started, I want to flash back to that last promo. Okay, we thank Missouri Grassroots Coalition for this time, 5 nights a week, from 7 to 9, 7 nights a week actually, except we don't do anything now currently on Fridays or Sundays. Missouri Grassroots Coalition has provided this time to Missouri Grassroots Radio, to the several hosts here, and so I feel like every week I need to just take a minute after that promo and say this. Missouri Grassroots Coalition is a totally broke outfit. They don't collect money for anything. If they need some pamphlets, if they need business cards, if they need to travel up to the Capitol to do something, the members of the executive committee of Missouri Grassroots Coalition reach into their pockets and they do that. They print it or they drive it. They only collect money at Missouri Grassroots Coalition every year for one thing and one thing only, and that is this Secret Santa. The last 2 years have been tremendous successes. You know how a Secret Santa works. Basically, they go out and on Christmas Eve, the very day of Christmas Eve, they go into the big box store somewhere, and they find that layaway that has exclusively toys in it. They don't buy coffee tables or evening dresses. That layaway that has exclusively toys in it that's far enough behind that it's not going to be paid off in time for Christmas morning. They pay it off. They don't ask the politics. They don't ask the reasons. They don't. It is strictly about, we are the conservatives who say that we don't need the government to take care of us. So by God, we better show. We better be ready and willing to show that we can take care of each other. That's all Secret Santa is about. Now, I'm going to tell you, we are way behind this year. I understand about the economy. We've been collecting since February. We start the thing off in February every year because we know we're coming down to a crunch. We know that November and December are the worst times of the year for us to come begging you for money. I mean, we all have the red kettles, the angel trees, the toys for tots. They're all great things, and they're all vying for your little bit of money at the end of the year. So we start in February, we start the ball rolling, we start the promos, we start doing the collecting, with the hopes that, you know, through the year, when you find it easier, you can toss in $5 or $10 or $100. Nothing's too big, nothing's too small. For the Missouri Grassroots Coalition Secret Santa. Well, the time's come. The time has come when we're headed toward that crunch, brothers and sisters, and we're way short of our goal for the year. So please look right now while you're here, while you're with us, go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Click on the Secret Santa button at the top. Use PayPal. We'll take $2. We'll take $2. We'll take $10. We really want to do this again this year. We've been very successful with this the 3 years since we've been in existence. We came into existence right after Cain was knocked out as just a group of Cain refugees. That was in October. And one of the first ideas that we got was to do this Secret Santa thing. And between October and December, we collected almost $600. Our first year was only a $600 year. Last year, we more than doubled the year before. So our goal has been to double every year. I think Lisa, I think you heard Lisa say on the promo that we were looking for $2,000 this year. We're way short. MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, Secret Santa button, PayPal. That's it. Three steps. MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, Secret Santa, and PayPal. Do it. Do it right now before you forget, please. Okay, so here it is. Here it is. Some good number of years ago, and we've been on this format here, the Article 5 show, for about 8 weeks now. So we've been, just to bring you up to date, some number of years ago, a group of men got together and said they needed to fix things. And there was a convention, lasted a little bit more than 4 months, excluding the 4th of July weekend and all Sundays, meeting every day. And they hammered out the greatest document in the history of world in the form of governing. Was the United States Constitution. In that, there was an article that said that the states could ask at any time, two-thirds of the states could ask the legislature to amend the Constitution if something was found faulty or if something was found outdated or if something was found not quite fitting anymore, that two-thirds of the states could ask the legislature to amend the Constitution. On the next to the last day of the convention, Colonel George Mason stood up and said, "Oh, that's not going to work. You and I both know damn well that this kind of government is going to become tyrannical. It's going to seize power unto itself. And if so, the only method you've left people of changing the Constitution is for that government itself to give away its own power to change the Constitution." And so there was some discussion and some debate, and what they ended up with was Article 5 as we have it today. And the beauty of Article 5 as we have it today, I should have it in front of me. This is the first night I haven't had it in front of me. But we don't need to read it verbatim. I mean, we've been here for 8 weeks. My goodness gracious, we all know it. The beauty of it is you don't need the permission of anyone to do it. All you need is two-thirds of the states to say, that's it, we're going to have a convention. They don't even have to have any ideas of what amendments they want to make. They just have to say, we're going to have a convention. And at that point, a date for the convention is set, and the states get together, and they decide to propose amendments. Now, I say propose because this convention isn't going to get together and amend the Constitution. That's not the way it works. These people don't just get – two-thirds of the states don't just get together and say, okay, that's it. We're gonna pass some gun laws. Two-thirds of the states propose amendments to the body of states. You still have to have, after that proposition, three-fourths of the states to say yes to any proposed amendment before that amendment becomes then part of the Constitution of the United States. So liberals, listen, you're in a bind here. You're in a bind with Obamacare. You're in a bind with your gun laws. You're in a bind with gay marriage. You're in kind of a bind with abortion. I mean, all of these, aren't you tired? Aren't you dead tired of all these issues going back and forth and never being truly decided? Come to the table and let's get this convention going so that you guys can get the Constitution fixed. That's the problem with what you liberals want, is that it's all unconstitutional. If you make it constitutional, then there will be no arguing about Social Security. There will be no arguing about Medicare. There will be no arguing about Medicaid. There will be no arguing about gun laws. There will be, if you fix the Constitution, you can have all of those things you want. Make it a right for people to get paid in their old age by the government. Make it a right for people to have a doctor at their beck and call. Make it a right Make it a prohibition for people to own guns. Come on. Are you ready and willing to take that to the people? All you got to do is the same thing we've been preaching here for 8 weeks now. All you got to do is spend a Saturday afternoon writing emails to every Missouri legislator saying, we demand an Article 5 convention. That's it. Let Missouri be once again the bellwether state in this thing, folks. Let Missouri once again be the driver. Let Missouri once again be first in line to say, this is what we want. We demand it. We talked to Lloyd about a very, very important amendment that he's been pushing for a number of years. Now, this is we've talked to Lloyd several times in the last 3 years. Lloyd Thomas Sloan, the state repeal amendment. I don't come to the table with any amendments written on paper the way Levin does. And let's, you know, if you haven't read Levin's book, first of all, go do it. Okay. It's a great book. Levin is sharp as a tack. I mean, he is a brilliant man, a constitutional scholar, but he's the first to tell you that these 11 amendments that I've proposed, they're just putty. They're just there to be worked. There's nothing perfect about them. They're there to open the dialogue, to feed the debate. So I don't come with any proposed amendments. I come saying that things are out of hand, brothers and sisters, and we got to get them under control. I don't care if you're a liberal or conservative, things are out of hand for you. And we need to solve this thing once and for all. I'm telling you, if three-fourths of the states are willing to toss the Second Amendment and say that we can't have guns, brothers and sisters on the right, we're lost anyway. We might as well find out. We might as well get down in the arena and get the swords out and go to battle with these people over these kind of issues and settle them once and for all. You know, last week we did the show about the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has got to be brought under control. I don't have the words of an amendment. Term limits, some sort of a state repeal, some sort of a congressional repeal of Supreme Court findings. I don't know what the answer is. Let's talk about it. That's what we're here for. But the first thing we've got to do is get the ball rolling. Missouri should be the first state to say, we demand a convention to amend the Constitution in accordance with Article 5. So listen, liberals, give us a call. Give us a call tonight. I'm throwing out the gauntlet for you. Bring it on. Let me know what you think we need to do. I've told my conservative friends who are running afraid of this thing, no, we can't do that. The liberals will take over the whole world if we do that. I've told them, first of all, that I don't think you can get a gay marriage amendment through three-fourths of the states. I don't think you can get a Second Amendment repealed through three-fourths of the states. That's the least of my worries. But I've also told them that the last thing in the world liberals want is a clarification by the American people of the Constitution of the United States. The last thing that liberals want, in my mind, is an Article 5 convention to set in stone what Americans want. Prove me wrong. Come on, bring it on. We're here, and we're listening, and we're not going to be rude. We're not going to be in any way above you or below you. We're going to discuss it. We're going to talk about it. And I challenge liberals to bring on their amendments. And I challenge my conservative friends to not be scared of that. My gosh. We can't go on like this. I mean, they're amending the goddamn Constitution 3 times a year in major fashion. We can't let that go on. Don't be afraid of what they're going to do at amendment convention. They're amending the Constitution every time you turn around. Every time you bat your eyes, they're making Obamacare is an amendment to the Constitution. Roberts amended the Constitution. Every time the Supreme Court meets for a session, they amend the Constitution. So, what are we afraid of? What are we afraid of if we try to force them to formalize that? It's time to take this thing back. There is no way that the federal government, which has spent the last 150 years, amassing little by little power after power after power unto itself, there is no way that that monster is going to do a single thing to cut off even one of its own fingers. You got to cut it off. It's the only way. I am telling you, it is the only method of peaceful revolution left to us. We've talked about balanced budgets. We've talked about fiscal responsibility. We talk and talk and listen. Every 2 years, when your representative is running to keep his or her job in Washington, D.C., whether they're a Democrat or a Republican, that's what you hear. Oh, fiscal, we got to get some fiscal responsibility going here. You know, we got to balance the budget. We got to stop borrowing so much money. It's unpatriotic. You hear it every time. And they go up there after you've elected them on a platform of fiscal responsibility and the unpatriotic act of borrowing, and they borrow and they spend and they amass more power unto themselves. It's got to stop. You've got to stop it. And there's only one way to do it. Article 5 of the U.S. Constitution. Make the states come together. Decide once and for all what they want their federal government to be. I'm betting you everything I am, that what the states and the people of the states want their federal government to be comes out looking pretty darn much like what it looked like the last time they had one of these conventions. A government under control, a government limited in its power and authority, a court system that knows its place, a legislature that runs the country, a president that is totally insignificant to your daily life. That's the way it's supposed to be. We put, you know, it just amazes me every 4 years that we put so many hundreds of millions of dollars into these presidential races, that we rip families apart over presidential races. The president of the United States is supposed to be totally irrelevant to our everyday lives. The president of the United States is supposed to go to parties and entertain foreign dignitaries. He's supposed to be commander-in-chief of the United States Armed Forces. And execute the laws given to him by the legislature. He is supposed to be insignificant and irrelevant to our everyday lives. And yet, what's going on up there? We have some bald-headed 60-year-old guy in a building in the middle of Washington, D.C., with no windows on it, deciding how many gallons you can flush and what kind of light bulb you can put in and whether or not your 14-year-old kid can drive your damn farm tractor. Some crazy lunatic in Washington, D.C. who wouldn't know a trout from a bass is deciding whether they can build a dam somewhere in Utah. It's insane. The whole thing has gone crazy. The whole thing has gone crazy, and they want to have me committed. I mean, what the hell is all of that about? Oh, man. I better take a break. Right here, the blood vein right in the middle of my forehead is, I can actually see it if I put my eyeballs up toward the top of my head. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to relish in the fact that none of the liberals that I invited to come along have actually taken up the challenge, so to speak.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
If you, who make less than $250,000 a year, which includes 98% of small business owners, you will not see your taxes increase one single dime.
Hello. It's Dave, and I'm here to tell you that on Saturday nights at 7 o'clock, we talk about the fair tax on the Fair Tax Show. That Saturday night at 7 o'clock on Missouri Grassroots Radio, we explode the myths, we tell the truth, we get to the bottom of this tax code that ought to be the one to replace the IRS. Get involved in the discussion. Learn everything there is to learn. 347-677-1835, Saturday, 7 o'clock p.m., Missouri.
If you drive a car, if you drive to Fifth Street,
I'll tax your seat.
If you get too cold,
I'll tax the heat.
If you take a walk,
I'll tax your
food. No sense calling it anything else. I mean, it is a tax, so it's a fairly regressive tax. An awful lot of people in Iowa and in Oregon and Washington and Utah and places where we are, they're very poor people. They're going to pay a lot more money for electricity.
If you make under $250,000, you will not see your taxes increased by a single dime.
Have you joined Missouri Grassroots Coalition yet? The results of the 2012 election proved that the grassroots conservatives need to work harder to make their voices heard in government. The best way for Missouri conservatives to make their voices heard is to join together within the Missouri Grassroots Coalition Network and show our elected that we are a strong, unified, conservative voice in Missouri. Go to the website, MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, and click on the Join tab. Give us your contact information so that we can keep you updated on the latest developments in Jefferson City and beyond. Also, sign up for grass fire alerts so that you can get immediate notifications when we need to call grassroots conservatives together in action. Use the MGC network to help your grassroots organization speak with a louder voice, combined with grassroots groups across the state. Together, we can strengthen the conservative voice in Missouri.
They told me that you had gone totally insane. And that your methods were unsound.
Are my methods unsound?
I don't see any methods at all.
I wonder if you knew there was.
Okay, here we go. All right, we've been talking about, what we've been talking about here is no more or less than the one thing that libertarians and conservatives alike stand for, and that is states' rights. That is the idea that the federal government has 9 powers specifically handed to it by you and me through our states. It's about the idea that governing is done best as close to home as you can get. I mean, if you can't homeschool, then the governing body of the school that your children attend ought to be you and the people in your neighborhood. Perhaps just for purposes of some kind of fiscal sanity, the state. But nothing more than that. That funding for the trout sanctuary that keeps your neighborhood alive, or the city park, or the police department that protects you in your neighborhood ought to be a little closer to home. The idea that charity ought to be a little bit closer to home, ought to be handled by people who care about people, rather than people who just pay people to pay people to pay people. This is the idea that lived in the 9th and 10th Amendment. Those were the overriding amendments. Those were the omnipotent amendments in the Bill of Rights. Yeah, the Bill of Rights is there, and it says the federal government can't interfere with your right to bear arms, and it says that the federal government can't interfere with your right to free speech. And you want to know that all of those amendments are totally dependent on the power retained by the people and the states. We talked about the 17th Amendment and how that kind of was the death knell to the 9th and 10th Amendment. The 17th Amendment, if you remember when we talked about it, is the amendment that said that senators would be elected directly by the people. Senators used to be representatives of the state, not of the people. We had our House, the House of Representatives, you and I and the smaller districts. We had a direct representative in Washington, D.C. The House of Representatives is then rightfully, the people's house is rightfully the solicitor, the originator of all bills having to do with spending. That is why the continuing resolution was dependent on the House and is dependent on the House of Representatives. If you don't already know that, go read the Constitution. The Senate can't pass a continuing resolution and send it to the House. The House of Representatives has to pass a continuing resolution. But we're sidetracked here. Meanwhile, you had this other body, the Senate, and the Senate represented the interest of the state of Missouri, or the state of Louisiana, or the state of Massachusetts, or the state of California. You know, we said this last week, and it bears some repeating. We can't wag our finger at Nancy Pelosi for Obamacare, because the likelihood, in fact, the strong probability is that Nancy Pelosi is representing the views of the people in the district in sunny California from where she hails. Well, that's all the more reason, we said last week when we were talking specifically about Uncle Roy, that we can wag our finger at Claire McCaskill and Roy Blunt and Billy Long and the whole lot of them that are supposedly representing the constituency of the state of Missouri. I mean, we've had three different direct votes in the state of Missouri, ballot initiatives where three times the people of the state of Missouri have said 70-30 to these people, hell no. And every time the vote comes along, old Roy's hand goes up. Yeah, pick me, pick me. Claire's hand goes up. I understand that Claire's in the middle of a love affair with Barack Obama and the whole we own the world movement, the whole we want to tell you what you can eat and drink movement, but that doesn't matter. Claire McCaskill is a sworn representer for the views of the people of the state of Missouri. And time again, having told her 70-30, hell no, she goes all in on Obamacare. How do we fix that? You do understand, don't you, that if the 17th Amendment didn't exist, that if Roy Blunt and Claire McCaskill had been, in fact, hired by the legislature of the state of Missouri, that in fact, if they answered to the state of Missouri for the best interest of the state of Missouri, there wouldn't be any Obamacare. You do understand that the state houses saw this for what it was, right? That only because the states were totally cut out, they are being represented by senators who don't answer to them anymore. How do we fix that? 347-677-1835. If there's any of you liberals out there still hanging on to the idea that that maybe this is something you want to get in on, you know, if you want to do it right, come on, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's take out our pens and do battle. Let's get together in Philadelphia. Some of us from every state, a delegation from every state. Let's get together with our quills and our ink bottles, and let's fix it. Bring your gun laws. Bring your welfare. Bring your Social Security. We'll bring our states' rights and our culture. And our free markets. We'll bring our liberty and our fair taxation, and we'll put them out to the American people, and we'll see who wins. You know, we hear an awful lot here on the right about the dependent society, the people who are dependent on the government. I know some people who are dependent on the government, quite a few people who could not live without food stamps, who could not live without some sort of welfare. I know, I in fact know some people who could not live without the meager little bitty amount they get from Social Security every month. And I would say that of those people that I know, and there's a lot of them, that 90% of them would trade that for opportunity. 90% of the people I know, now I understand that there are large segments of the society of people that I don't know who enjoy the dependency. I understand that. But of the many, many people I know who are living in that dependent state, almost everyone would trade that check for opportunity. If you don't get out there and preach that gospel, you're not a real conservative. I mean, you are preaching the gospel of opportunity. That's what America is about. Okay? But that opportunity is throttled by this government. You know, there's a reason, and it's a reason that is well thought out, and it's a reason that leads to intentional government systems that make it impossible that you and I could go out in our garage and invent a cure for cancer. You get that, right? There's a reason why the majority of Americans can't even think about starting a small business. And that reason is there by intent. That reason is there to keep people dependent and to keep opportunity limited. This really is no longer the land of opportunity. I mean, do you even imagine that you still live in a land with any kind of liberty when there are people in this country who can't buy a 42-ounce Coke? I know the court already overruled that, but let's just go with that example. You know, when you can't buy certain items, or when you have, for God's sake, when you have to buy certain items now. I mean, is there anyone here who really even thinks this is still a free country? Who really even thinks that there's any liberty left here at all? What are you going to do about that? I didn't think any of our liberal friends would give us a call, and I was right. I had this discussion again just yesterday with a conservative friend of mine, a Republican, who says, we don't want this Article 5 convention. What are you trying to do? The liberals own the press. The liberals own the state houses. The liberals own the process. They're going to come away with a whole brand new constitution. Where are they? Huh? Where are they? We threw out the gauntlet. Where are they? Don't you know how ridiculous that sounds? Look around the country. Look at, you know, like I was talking with the refugee earlier, you know, Lee says day after day after day, the only reason the House of Representatives is able to hold on is because of the tens of millions of emails and calls that are coming in. Tens of millions. Claire McCaskill's taking her damn phone off the hook. You can't even get through there anymore. This government shutdown saved her butt. She's shut down her website. She's quit tweeting. She can't take it. The tens of millions of calls that are coming in saying, shut her down. It's out of hand. It's gone nuts. Go to the go to the back when we were having our Constitution discussion, our series we did on the Constitution here several months ago, we kept referring you to the debt clock. I don't know the HTTP www name of it anymore. Google it up, real-time debt clock, and look at it. The deficit, for the first time since they started the debt clock, is running backwards. It's running backwards. Daily, now, the government is taking in more money than it's spending. And that's just with a 75% shutdown, or a 25% shutdown of the government. 75% of the government is still running. And the president comes on and says, we're going to default. And the press is daring him to single-handedly extend the debt ceiling. I dare you, Mr. President. I dare you. Two things are going to happen. And a now emboldened House of Representatives is going to impeach your butt. And the Supreme Court is going to be hearing oral arguments 48 hours later. That's two things that are going to happen when you single-handedly raise the debt limit. So I dare you, Mr. President. Do it, please. Going to take our last break while I grab another sip of tea. Going to see if the refugee wants to come on and have another word in parting. We're going to tell you, it's 347-677-1835. Get in on this. Regular callers, regular listeners are also invited to call. I mean, yeah, we sent out a special invite to liberals today. They're not here, so get in on the discussion. Let's get this thing going.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners. Show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
There at that time that Colonel George Mason talked about, the time he knew would come when he insisted that we maintain and that we retain the power right here at the very base right here where it belongs to fix this thing. When he insisted on the next to the last day of the convention that that power be retained with the people, because he knew that there is no way that a government constructed like this doesn't. I'm telling you right now, if we do this thing, if we do this thing to save our children and grandchildren from spending 85 cents of every damn dollar they earn to pay our debt, if we do this thing to save some semblance of liberty for us and our immediate descendants, they're going to have to do it again in another 200 years. I'll guarantee it. You know it. I mean, this kind of thing, this kind of fire needs to be rekindled every once in a while, and it's time. It's time to throw another log on the fire. So here we are. We're down to the part that we get to every time, the altar call, the Article 5 altar call. You. Have the power to do this. And it's the only place that power resides. Will you do it? Will you spend one Saturday afternoon, go to senate.mo.gov and house.mo.gov? There's a list right there of all of the representatives and all of the senators for the state of Missouri, not just yours. You email every one. Flood them. Flood them with emails. Flood them. Don't use any kind of form letter. Just say it in your own words. I want this thing fixed. I'm tired. I'm fed up. I'm weary of this battle. We want you to get on the phone with Washington, D.C. and say Missouri demands an Article 5 Amendment Convention. Every one of them. Now, don't expect an answer back from any. You better damn well get an answer back from your own representative and senator. But don't expect an answer back from all of them. It's only right that they can only respond to their own constituents. But let your voice be one of the hundreds of thousands that they get, each and every one of them. It's easy. It is so easy. You click on the guy's name or the woman's name, and up comes their individual email. It's not going to be fast. It's going to take you an entire afternoon. But is liberty for your grandkid worth it? Worth a Saturday afternoon? It's a walk in the park. I mean, it's a Saturday afternoon. You know? Click on each representative, each senator, and send an email. It can be the same one from you to everyone. You can copy and paste it. That's okay. But it needs to be your own words. It needs to be demanding, not begging, not asking. They work for you. You don't work for them. That's what they've all forgotten. They work for us. Let's make that so. You want them to demand an Article 5 convention. Now, listen, brothers and sisters, that's the start. I'm not going to kid you. I'm not going to kid you. That is the start of a very long and difficult process. We then got to get 38 states to do the same thing. Then we got to have the convention. Then we got to propose amendments. Then we got to get the amendments ratified, and then we fix it. It's a long road, but every long road has got to be traveled by taking the first step. And that's the first step, brothers and sisters. It is. Missouri Grassroots Radio is on, as I've said, almost every night, Tuesday nights. And if you haven't caught Cynthia Davis's Homefront show, you've missed a treat. She gets the best guests. She gets the cream of the crop. And Cynthia is a hoot. That's the American Refugee on Monday, on Tuesday nights. Then on Wednesday night, just to kind of top off the cake with a little frosting, Lisa Payne Nager comes along, the culture vigilante. You talk about a guest-filled show. Now, there, right there, this woman can cram more guests into a two-hour show than I've ever seen. I mean, she is the princess of homeschooling. She is the queen of education. She is the matriarch of the conservative culture, and that's Wednesday night. You don't want to miss Wednesday night, culture vigilante Lisa Payne Nager. I'll be along again on Saturday with another version of the Fair Tax Show. Want to get in one more push before we go for my buddy American Refugee at AmericanRefugees.com. He's on Mondays and Fridays at 3 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio. It's a great show. I also want to get you over here to this Mark Pressack, a friend of his at PatriotJournalist.com. I want you to, all you groups out there in Missouri, I want you to try this app out. It is the coolest thing. And it will play into that network that we talked about earlier. Look, every one of you needs to spend this next set. I know the baseball playoffs are on. It's hard to fit in 126 emails in the seventh inning stretch, but damn it. It really is the whole future we're talking about here. You know, I was saying to a friend just last week, you know, about this other group that I'm involved in, that we shouldn't be too discouraged. We know full good and well that if you get a room of 500 like-minded people together on an issue, that what you've got in that 500 is about 10 to 12 real activists. You've got 10 to 12 people who are going to do the work. Well, I'm telling you right now, brothers and sisters, that day is over or we are lost. If everyone listening to the show, if on Saturday there are 20,000 emails sitting on the desk of every representative in Jefferson City, we're lost. It really is about that. I mean, it really, if you can't look at what's going on now and see that it is that close to over, then I don't know what else. I mean, you're illiterate. If you can't look at what's going on and see that we are that close to the end, then you are ignorant of history, ignorant of what this country is supposed to be, excuse me, or you just don't care. This is it. Do it. Hey, whether you do it or not, we love each and every one of you. We appreciate you tuning in. MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, Secret Santa, couple of bucks. We'll talk to you next time. I'm Dave. You've been on the Article 5 show at the Hour of Truth on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Good night.
God bless America, land of
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.